So I never like to start a presentation off on a bad note, but I got announced over there as a doctor, and if anybody wants to get up and leave now, I'm not a doctor, actually, only my master's degree, so you're free to leave if you want to. So not to offend any of the PhDs that are actually in the room and the fact that my major professor is actually Megan Rolfe, who was just up here talking. So we'll get that cleared up and out of the way. But today we're going to talk a little bit about foot structure, and we're going to talk about what we've been doing at the American Angus Association as far as trying to get our arms around this idea of structure, and can we have an EPD for structure? What questions have we been asked? And then basically, where are we at? So the first thing, you know, when we talk about structure, and this might be almost a cuss word, but I grew up showing cattle, okay? So we talked a lot about, you know, angles of the shoulder and how square they were from their hooks to their pins, and we talk about all these areas that we see good structure in cattle. And I think when I came to one of my first BIF meetings, someone said, you know, let's make the cattle profitable, and then we'll learn to like how they look later, okay? And so when we're talking about a structure EPD, exactly, you know, how do we make this reality? And I think one of the things that we can look at is, can we build them correctly from the ground up, okay? Can we start at their feet? Can we make them better low so they can be better up high, okay? And so what we've been focusing on at the American Angus Association since about 2014, 2015 is to start to capture foot score records. Okay, ask our members to go out, evaluate their own cattle, score their own individual females, their males, and actually start to send those scores into us at the association. So 2015, we embarked on that journey. 2017, we basically had enough data to start a research project within house that we'll talk about. January of 2018, we released a research EPD. So the way we release EPDs here at American Angus is basically we come out with a research EPD that allows people like Brian McCullough to give us good, valid feedback, you know, to the association. Is that tool useful? Is it something that we're looking for? Is it something that we can actually use in our own operations? And is there any value to that? So we had about 6,000 scores in that initial research run in 2018. February of 2018, our board of directors said, let's actually run a research project. Let's hire some interns. Let's have them go out and score cattle in different herds to see if we can actually capture more variation than what we are getting back from our membership and see where that led us. Then finally, in the fall of 2018, after we had those phenotypes in hand, we moved into an additional research run. And then May 31st, actually just a few weeks ago, we actually moved those two EPDs into production. So back in 2015, what was Dan Mosier basically faced with as far as building a scoring system? Well, we knew it had to be simple. We knew it had to be self-explanatory if we were expecting our members to be able to go out and collect those scores immediately. We had to pinpoint the issues that were most important to us in the Angus breed, and then we obviously had to make it useful for genetic evaluation. So our members came back to us and said basically that there was two main issues in Angus cattle. There was a foot angle issue, and there was a claw set issue. And so we tore a page away from the Angus Australian group, and we basically came up with this particular foot scoring guidelines. This is eerily similar to what the Australians had been using in that intensive grazing situation. And basically, when you look at this individual foot scoring system, there are 1 through 9, right? Categorical system where 5 is going to be our ideal foot score. Okay, 5 is what we deemed as kind of that confirmation that we are looking for, where when we look at foot angle, that's going to be a 45-degree set to the pastern, okay, from the ground to the pastern, with appropriate heel depth, along with claw set, where a 5 on claw set is going to be this idea where the toes are symmetrical, they're pointing forward, they're not curling over one another, and they're not basically diverging from one another. So we came up with this scoring guidelines, and along with that, we came up with a list of rules. So the first one on there, we may snicker at, that we have to score the feet prior to any hoof trimming, okay? But this has obviously been one of those issues that we've seen in the dairy industry, right? A classifier goes out to their individual program, and what do? The week before, okay? They get their cows trimmed, they clean them up, they shave them off, right? They get them ready for that classifier. And so we don't want people to basically be trimming those hooves before they're scoring them. If there's basically variation in the foot scores, okay, so I would say that this foot is actually a little bit worse than the other side, We want to take that score in the worst foot, okay? We want to get as much variation as we possibly can. Then that third point is that the first time that we can collect foot scores is going to be on our yearling bulls and heifers, okay? 320 days of age to around that 420 days of age, same time we're collecting yearling weights, same time we're collecting ultrasound scans, with the thought process being that you guys, as seed stock breeders, this is probably the last time your group of young yearling bulls is going to be together, okay? The last time that they're going to be in a full contemporary group, or maybe your replacement females are going to be in a full contemporary group. So that is our earliest point to capture, okay? The second thing, and probably the most important thing that we strive to do is basically capture these scores on older females, okay? These females that are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age. The point being that we see more variation in those females as they begin to get older, okay? And I think we would all nod our heads along and agree with that, that you probably see more differences in foot structure when those females are moving into maturity than we do at yearling time. Okay, so that's where we started. And that's basically the guidelines that our individual producers have been following. So when we're collecting the data, feet should be ideally evaluated on a concrete or hard surface. I think we can all understand why that might be the case. We should really score all feet independently. Try not to score them in a chute. Sometimes it's hard to get a real read on that foot angle. Bulls need to be scored at least at the year of age point prior to sorting. And then females, ideally, we would score those animals twice, right? Once as yearlings or replacement females, and then again as older females. The one thing that we do is we collect and allow ourselves to collect as many foot scores on these individual animals throughout their lifetime that can possibly be taken as you, the breeder, okay? So recommendations during scoring, if you're new to scoring, we're uncomfortable with the scoring system, if we can work as a team, right? If we can set our baseline, we can go out and we can be consistent among our contemporary groups. We really need to have one score in that contemporary group or throughout that day in order to make sure that we have that baseline read and we stay consistent in scoring these animals from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, basically when you're out there running those cattle through the chute. So, will it work? Does it work? I think we can all agree that there's definitely variation, okay, in these two foot scores that we're talking about. We have some really good ones. We have some really poor ones. And so if we can collect and categorize that, is there a genetic component to these foot scores we've been capturing? So the initial research efforts were promising. So remember we talked about those 6,000 yearling foot scores that basically we evaluated here a couple of years ago. Dr. Li-Shin Wang, who was a research geneticist with us at the time, ran this data and basically found that both of these traits are around 25% heritable. Okay, so will it work? Have you guys been able to make genetic progress with a trait like weaning weight before or post-weaning gain? Those are traits that are also around 25% heritable. Okay, so I do absolutely think it can work and we can make genetic change when we talk about using these two individual foot scores. When we talk about variation in our yearling foot scores, this is what led us to that research project last summer. When we looked at our initial data set that was sent in by members, the majority of it was yearling data, okay? Foot scores on yearling age cattle. And when we look at how many fives we had, okay, how many ideal scores we had, it was aplenty. Okay, so we wanted to really go out and we wanted to capture that variation in those mature females. So when we went out, we actually pinpointed herds that had older females, a large proportion of females older than 5 years of age who are also genotyped. Basically, this is what we found. So we have a lot more variation. We have a lot more 6s, 7s, 8s, 9s, in that mature cow female population than what we saw at yearling time, okay? We're spreading those scores more when we start to evaluate those older aged cattle. And because of that, it really added a lot of validity to our evaluation as we continued to collect those mature cow foot scores and put them into the evaluation. So we released two EPDs a couple of weeks ago, one for foot angle, one for claw set. Okay, the correlation between these two traits is around 0.2. Okay, so not very high. Because it's not very high, we evaluate the traits separately, and we actually produce two different EPDs for our producers. The other thing that we have to remember is when we were just talking about those distribution graphs, we don't use the 1 through 4 scores. Okay, we don't use the 1 through 4 scores because we do not see enough cattle that are straight up through their pasturins or divergent in their toes to allow us to interpret that data in a genetic evaluation. Okay, so anything that's turned in from the 1 through 4 categories at this point, we're ignoring. That doesn't mean as a producer we shouldn't turn them in, right? If you have a 1, you have a 2 or a 3, turn it into us at some point. If we need to adjust this way of thinking, we certainly will do it. But right now, we do not see enough cattle getting reported in those categories to make them worthwhile for this evaluation. So we focus on the 5 through 9, and when we talk about the EPDs, obviously a smaller or more negative EPD is going to be better, okay, because we're taking those cattle from the 9, 8, 7 categories down to the 5. Down to the ideal. And so that's actually how you read those individual EPDs that we produced a few weeks ago. When we talk about the EPDs that are reported, they're obviously reported in scoring units. Okay, it's not a probability or anything like that. Basically, it is in scoring units. For the number of records in each one of those evaluations, we have roughly 20,000 records for both foot angle and claw set. Okay, we see not as much variation in foot angle. So the discrepancy there isn't because some people are only scoring claw set, some people are only scoring foot angle. It may be that the contemporary group, the entire contemporary group was scored a 6. Okay, so then we wouldn't use that data for genetic evaluation. No variation. The average EPD is going to be around 0.5 for both of these particular EPDs for claw and angle. So the way we can think about that is if we're below a 0.5, we're a breed improver. And then you can see there are min and max EPDs on both of those individual traits. So we are getting some spread in these EPDs with the data points that we have collected. So again, just a quick run through. You know, we would say on average that for sire A and sire B with these types of EPDs, that on average sire B is going to produce progeny that score about a half a score better on that 5 through 9 scoring system. Okay, so if I had a group of progeny out of sire A and they roughly scored a 6.5, sire B would produce progeny that would score a 6. Okay, a half a score closer to that 5 or ideal claw set. Right, so that's the tool that we have available for you right now. The one thing that I will tell you is that as we began talking about and producing research EPDs, we've grown our database significantly. Breeders, seed stock breeders, really across any breed, once you put a blank box on a paper, right, you guys really step up to the plate in order to get us those data points so you can generate those particular EPDs. The other thing I will say is that this is a single-step genomic evaluation, okay? So if you have two individual full sibs and their genotypes, you're going to have deviation in those traits. So it is a full-blown single-step genomic evaluation. And it's really increased our breeders' attention during the selection process, okay? Foot structure may have been something that some people were avoiding, kicking the can down the road. As we continue to come up with EPDs and tools to select for that, individual producers are paying more attention to it. And then finally, it was included in our maternal weaned calf value index that just got produced on May 31st as well. Obviously having an effect on longevity of our females and profitability from conception to weaning. So with that, that's about all I have for you today, but I will take any questions that you may have. Lauren? Yeah. So I don't have those numbers with me, but we do run a repeated measures model with this particular trait, obviously, so we can use those multiple sources of information. We would have some animals that were actually recorded maybe twice, but beyond that, we don't have a lot of animals that have been scored more than 2 times. Yep. Sure. So we didn't lay over top any of the mature female scores on that research population. Actually, those scores that I had up there included some of the mature cow scores that would have been in the main population as well. Obviously, we do see more variation. That's probably more due to age. I will say that some of our interns scored those cows alongside the owners. And the one thing that they found was that the owners, in most cases, would score them harder than what our interns were. But as long as we were consistent throughout the day in that score that was reporting them to the association, we should be able to account for that variation, you know, with contemporary group solution. Lauren. Yeah, so we've never collected scores at weaning age time. We took the page of the yearling foot scores actually from Australian Angus. They had done some initial research on that, and basically what they found is they don't see hardly any variation at weaning time. Therefore, capturing those scores, you know, if they're all ideal at that point, that's not obviously adding anything for evaluation. So we have not at this point started collecting foot scores at weaning time. Yes, ma'am. So our reliability, basically, I can tell you the accuracy ranges that we have right off the top of my head. Some of our highest accuracy sires are going to be around 0.7 BIF accuracy, and then some of our lowest are going to be around 0.15 that actually have some data in the evaluation. So we don't have any what we would consider proven sires. We have none over 0.9 right now. But like I said, with that single step genomic evaluation, as we continue to get records, it won't be long until we get some up in that range.
Was there more variation on
yearling? Yeah, so we did break that down during that initial research project. We saw a bit more variation in our yearling bulls. Two things though. One, there probably is a management difference, like you're thinking in your head. And the second thing is we had more yearling foot scores on bulls than we did versus heifers. Okay? So in general, people were more amped or would score their bulls more readily in that large group that they were developing for sale than they were scoring their replacement heifers at the time. We've now kind of seen that basically rise and become very equal amongst our foot scores being collected at yearling time.
So are you concerned that when you look at the scale, midpoint is optimum? But based on what your data is showing, you're saying that smaller, lower scores are better. I guess I want to put out a word of caution. First of all, if other breeds adopt this, that might not be the same case. It might be more of a midpoint optimum that they would be looking at. And do you guys have any concern about that? Because the educational process now is lower scores are better, but that might not always be the case.
Right. So the one thing I will say is that because we do ignore all those 1 through 4 scores, I'm not so concerned that we're going to take cattle to the other side of the scale because we're not quantifying and using that data in that genetic prediction. However, I will say that I think it will be interesting to see how the marketplace kind of plays out in this particular scenario, because when we think of foot structure and what's acceptable for foot structure, that might be very different in a terminal type situation where those cattle have to basically get through the feedlot in 16 to 18 months. And they may be able to do that on a less ideal in terms of that foot scoring system, right? To be able to complete their lifetime versus when we really start talking about how that's going to affect longevity in the cow herd.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Kelly.